And I was listening to him preaching. All of a sudden, he just cut loose. And he said, "In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths." Amen. All we need is an organ now. Amen.
Picking on me, and he says,
"In the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here has ended and our race on earth is run, He will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. If you'll go in Jesus' name.
Amen. Little is much when God is in it. Psalm number 45. Psalm 45. Read a few verses of Scripture. Share a few things that I hope will be a help and encouragement to us this evening. Appreciate all of you that are here. Hope you've had a wonderful afternoon. I pray you have a night of wonderful rest. Be prepared for Monday. Always comes after Sunday. Okay. Monday. All right. Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Back to verse 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we consider an honor and a privilege that we can pause and come boldly to your throne of grace and just talk to you like we're talking to a friend. I'm thankful that you are always gracious, that you hear, that you acknowledge our every individual prayer. What an honor it is to be able to approach your throne. We don't take that lightly. We'll tell you we love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us and being kind and gracious to us. And thank you for the joy that you fill our hearts with. I pray you bless the reading of the Word of God tonight. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I like the way he starts off there. He says, my heart is inditing a good matter. Now, that's an interesting word. Notice how it's spelled. I-N-D-I-T-I-N-G. Now, if you would put a C in that after the second I-N-D-I-C-T, it would carry a totally different meaning than what it does here. In a court of law, if a person is indicted, okay, means he's been charged with a crime. I'm glad here that that C is omitted, and it simply says, my heart is indicting a good matter. Simply means I am composing or I am writing what's really on my heart. And he had a joyful heart. He says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. He says, God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I just want to share a few things tonight that I think are, I call them, this is a strong word, but I call them absolute essentials for a church to be successful. I'm going to give you three or four things. I haven't mentioned this probably in 20, 30 years, but you know, for a church to be successful, they're just, I think, fundamental, some absolutes that a church needs to possess and practice if she's going to be successful. And notice I said she to be successful because the church is to multiply. Amen? Amen. All right, so we use the feminine term there. When you refer to the church, I always like to say she because the church is to multiply. Way back, I think it's the very first year that we were in this church. If that's true, that goes back 40 years ago. I was working part-time for Bill Burris at his store. And I enjoyed that because I enjoyed being around people. But I remember that Bill's business was growing, and I was back in, I think it was IGA then, and I remember old Jimmy Cockrell, wasn't that his name? Yeah. And he was a nice guy, and we were nice to him. We always had good relations. But anyway, they had a one-night school, and Bill requested that all of his employees go to that school. That had a lasting impression on me. Of course, now I had already been out in the workforce for 10 or 12, 14 years at the time, and I'd been on both sides of the spectrum. I had been an employee, and I'd also been a supervisor, and so I had experience of being with people. In fact, I just told somebody the other day, I worked at American Lantern for a year or two, and they got rid of me and didn't even have to give a two-week notice. And they just got rid of me, didn't even have to give a notice. But it wasn't a firing, it was a promotion, actually, because the vice president, Mr. Forrest Wise, was the one that got me that job supervising that little factory. And it worked out real well. But I've learned that in business, and people won't have to be around me very long, you'll know I'm pro-business. I've never been in business, but I'm for the businessman. I am pro-business inside and out. But you know, we went to that one-night school, and I made a notation. When I go to school, I go to school to learn. Young folks listening to that? I go to school to learn. I learn to get something out of it. And I was impressed with the things that Jimmy shared with us that night. And he said for a business to be successful, he said, number one, it has to be a place where folks are friendly. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, boy, that's true. And I remember he went into detail. And he said, For example, he said, listen, he went to the checkout counter. And he said, for example, he said, you're an employee and you're checking groceries, checking out groceries for someone. He said, when that customer steps up to that counter, you have four opportunities to look that customer right straight in the eye. And I thought, now this is going to be interesting. He said, when that customer steps up, you have a chance, number one, to look that customer right straight in the eye and welcome them for the business. Thank them for being there. He said, when you finish checking their groceries, he said, you have the opportunity to look them in the eye the second time and tell them how much they owe. And he said, then when you make the change, you have the opportunity to look them in the eye the third time and thank them for the business. I said, then number four, when the sacker gets finished sacking their groceries, you can turn and say, thank you once again. Hope you come back and see us again. Four times, you get to look that customer in the eye. Now, it's no secret. I'm probably 15 or 20, 30 businesses every week. But I'm here to tell you, it's hard to find employees that'll practice that. Sometimes you got to look at the checker and say, thank you. Amen. No, I'm just being honest. And it's just a different world than what it was 40 years ago. But I've never forgotten that. See, that's lodged up here. I mean, that's not even in my notes. That's just in my brain. That you have it. You know, and that's why I like it here. We come, and I've always stressed the value of having a friendly atmosphere. That's why we have handshaking time. And I encourage you, get out of that pew and roam around, shake hands. Don't wait for somebody to come to you. Go to somebody else. Amen. I try to make it a practice. When I see somebody, I work at trying to be the first one to speak. Now, sometimes somebody beats you to it. But I make it a point. I want to be the first one to speak. I mean, I'll be walking along the street, and I'll say, hey, how you doing today? Doing all right. How you? I say, boy, you having a great day. God's good, isn't he? You know, I just want to be the first one to speak. But it's important. Back in Solomon's day, in fact, when the Queen of Sheba came and paid him a visit, was she ever impressed? She was highly impressed. And she made this comment. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. She recognized that all his servants, and that's a Bible term, today would say employees, but she noticed that they were all happy, pleased, satisfied, and content. Now, you ever wondered why some folks stay discouraged so much? They don't stay around friendly people. And I'll be honest with you, some folks can discourage you. You know, I'm very careful about negative people. And they're everywhere. I mean, you don't even have negative folks in a church. Love them, but listen to me. Don't spend a whole lot of time with them. I got your attention. Now listen. I'll tell you why. If you spend too much time listening to a negative person, you become a negative person. You are who you run with. Be around folks that's excited. Amen. How many of you folks saved and glad of it? Amen. I mean, isn't it good to be saved? And, you know, I mean, praise God for such a good day today. You know, come in excited. Be friendly and it's just important that you do that. You know, I'm not a singer, and I know that, but Bill, several years ago, Bill stepped up. Now, Bill's a good song leader, and he don't mind me saying this. He's not the greatest soloist in the world, but he's a good song director. I don't say that. He knows I'm telling the truth. Amen. Tell it like it is. He's a good song leader. A good song leader motivates folks to sing. But I love Bill's style. One day, Bill stepped up, and he went something like this. Someday, God only knows just where and when the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. I went around all day the next day singing that. And I still like that song. Someday, God only knows just where and when the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still, and we shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Boy, I like it. Bill, you inspired me, amen? I like to see Bill grab that old guitar and sing every once in a while, huh? Sometimes I tell him what I like to him sing. You know, just different. I enjoy it. But Bill, I've never forgotten that. I went around the next day all day long just humming that and singing that. And see, I make a joke about it. I'm a preacher and a teacher. I know I'm not a singer. And so when I sing, I do that just where folks say, he better stick to preaching and teaching, amen? Because singing is just not his thing. But you know, there just needs to be a place where folks who've buried a loved one can come and find joy and comfort and peace in a friendly atmosphere. You know what? Need a place like that. Where people can smile through their tears. Where everybody loves each other. Where we can sing happy songs together. Where our burdens can be lifted. Where we can get a sample of heaven. Amen? That's what church ought to be. Paul said in the book of Ephesians that we've come to sit together in heavenly places. In heavenly places. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that encourages me, and it forces me to read my Bible and try to find out a little bit about what's going on up there. Because the Lord said in that prayer that we ought to be doing down here what they're doing up there. Now, Mike, that's kind of hard for me to do. Because first of all, I've got to find out what they're doing up there. But that's what he said. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me hurry along. Another thing that Jimmy reminded us about in that meeting was recognition. Recognition. You know, people want to be recognized. Now, we ushers, we work together. Because, for example, and it happens on a regular basis here, and I'm glad it does. We'll be somebody, I see a strange vehicle pull in, and I may go to Brother Kistner or Brother Bill Burst, and I say, who is that? I say, I don't know. I don't know. Well, then I may be off over the side, and I see some person walk up. I go up, and I may say, Brother Jim, who is that? Brother Bill, who is that? I don't know who that is. And if they tell me, that helps me a whole lot. Because you see, I can walk up, Brother Dennis, I can walk up and shake the hand and say, how you doing, John Doe? Boy, it's good to see you. Act like I've known him for 20 years. You know why I do that? Because people like to be recognized. I do. I want folks to recognize me. I want to recognize you. People like to be recognized. The friendly atmosphere and recognition. God, Jeremiah chapter 1, I'm not turned there, but I'll just share this. It comes by memory. But God told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You know, that must have encouraged Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah, didn't get encouraged by the people he preached to. As far as I know, he never had a convert. His own family didn't trust him. Criticized him, turned against him. So his encouragement must have come from our Heavenly Father who recognized him. Said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, our politicians and Planned Parenthood, call them up and tell them what I said. Amen. God said, Jeremiah, I knew you even before you was conceived in the womb. If he knew him then, I guarantee he knew him all the time he's in that womb. I'm glad that I know a God who knows who I am. And that he recognizes me and cares for me. But you know what? I care for you as well. And I want to recognize you. People like to be recognized. A friendly atmosphere and recognition. I'll move along. We'll keep you real long tonight. But how about, Jim shared this with him. He said, quality merchandise. He said, that's important. You're going to survive in business. Quality merchandise. I remember Bill Burst shared this with me one time. And in fact, I'm going to have to tell two or three little humor things here. But back in those days, Bill and I both wore dark rimmed glasses. And sometimes people get us confused. Somebody come in and they say, how you doing, Bill? Well, I kind of like that because it made me think I owned that place. You know? Yeah, I like that. I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. And then all of a sudden, the real Bill would walk up. And they say, oh, you go on over and start stocking groceries or something, boy, get out of here, you know. Remember one day, Bill, I got to tell this one on you. Fella came back with a little grocery sack. He said, I got home, said, my bananas and bread was mashed. Said, look at this. I don't appreciate this. Well, we're stocking shelves and so forth. I took one to look at it, and I said, well, I'll take care of that. I said, come with me. I took him over to the bread rack, got him another loaf of bread. Took him by and got him another cluster of bananas. By the way, have you ever thought of which banana gets skinned? The one that gets separated from the rest of them? Young folks? You got to be careful about that. All right. Oh, it's my life. I do what I want to. You get skinned too. Amen. But anyway, I satisfied that elderly guy. He left in a good mood. He remained a good customer. When he went out the door, Brother Bill came around the corner and he said, thanks for taking care of my customer. I thought, yeah, a whole lot of help you were. Amen. Bill, I'd have to tell that one on you. Gosh, that's been 35, 40 years ago, I guess. But Bill told me this one day. He said, I can buy cheaper meat. But he said, I buy the best meat that I can buy. Because he said, I'm going to build my business around this meat counter. Well, after about 50 years, I'd say he's pretty successful, wouldn't you? Because he said, I buy quality merchandise. You say, what's that got to do with building a church? Well, how about this? We're talking about quality merchandise. How about churches? I believe a church ought to be a place of decency. A place of honor. A place of patriotism. A place of virtue. Integrity. Character. Those things ought to be preached in this pulpit. All those things. When they first started playing sports, they said sports, and the purpose for sports is to develop character. Well, today we've gotten away from that. It reveals character. Doesn't develop it, it reveals it. All you got to do is got to look at it. Tempers. Long hair. Drugs. Physical abuse. Sexual abuse. Now let me stop just a moment and say, there's some good ones. But I'm simply saying, it no longer produces it. It reveals character. And it's not always good character. Churches ought to produce saved folks with good character. Psalm 59:19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I'm glad, and I realize that we live in a day where so many professed Christians don't want to hear it. But I'm a fundamentalist from here to here, and inside and out. I'm glad to be a fundamentalist. That's what I was before I got kicked out of association. I just didn't know what I was. Didn't change. I didn't know what I was. But when I got kicked out, I thought, well, I got to be something. So I found out that's what I was. That's what I was all along. Fundamentalist. But I'm glad that we can preach this King James Bible and lift up a standard and challenge folks. And say, this is the way God's people ought to live. We live in a day where character and integrity and virtue and decency and honor and all those things are important things, but so many times, even among God's people, they've fallen by the wayside. The enemy's coming in like a flood. You know, I can remember when the bars, red light districts were in every town, but you could stay away from that. You didn't have to go there. But now, it's piped into our living rooms. On television. You don't have to go down to the bars. You don't have to go down to the slums. We've allowed it to be piped into our living rooms. Television. Electronics. Things like that. Drugs. Pornography, perversion. Most of the talk shows are dominated by homosexuals, lesbians, women looking like men, men dressing like women. And many of them teaching our kids in the educational system in America. But this is going to offend some of you. If it does, you'll get over it. But I'd rather homeschool my kids than to turn them loose under somebody that I didn't know what they was teaching them. Knew nothing about their character. Then wonder, our kids don't turn out right. I want to tell you something. If your kids belong to the state that have been born on the Capitol steps in Little Rock, those children, God placed them in your home, under your care, and God's going to hold you and me responsible for how they turn out. Amen. I thank God that even though I'm pastor, I still belong to a church where the Bible is believed to be the Word of God. Where we can lift up a standard on how to live and how to behave and how to dress and how to talk. I know not everybody's going to follow those standards. But I consider it a privilege that I have the opportunity to preach biblical standards. I often tell young ladies and men, when you dress immodest and go out in public, at least put a sign on your back that says, I know better. At least say, I know better. Because my church has taught me better. My preacher's taught me better. My Bible's taught me better. My convictions have taught me better. And I know better than that. Last of all, Jimmy Cockrell said, it's important that you watch your price control. He said, low prices are important. Sometimes we hear commercials like this. We'll meet or beat anybody's prices. We'll meet anybody's prices, and we'll beat them most of the time. Now, conveying that over to spiritual aspect about low prices. As I begin to wind it down, I want you to turn. I'm going to give you one Bible verse. I want you to turn there, okay? I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. This one just comes to mind. You'll get there as quick as I do. If you beat me there, just wait on me. Isaiah 55. A couple of verses of Scripture. Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. We're talking about low prices. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? I call that the poor man's market. That's God's invitation. He says, if you're thirsty, spiritually thirsty, he said, come unto me without money and without price. I'm telling you, you can't improve on God's plan of salvation. John 4:10, the Lord Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God, it's free. That's a pretty low price, isn't it? It's free. He said, I'm going to give it to you. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why is it, and Jesus taught on this one time, why is it that the business people of our day are oftentimes smarter than we Christians are? They know what, just think about that. They know what it takes to be successful, don't they? But if you're going to be successful in business, you've got to have a friendly atmosphere. He said, you're going to have to recognize people, and you're going to have to quality merchandise, and your prices are going to have to be competitive. Boy, I'm glad our price is competitive. Aren't you glad salvation's free? Every man that thirsteth, come. That buy wine and milk without price. Boy, it's free. Amen? Just four things I want to share with you tonight. But if a church is going to be successful, we've got to practice those four things continually, over and over and over. Let's stand together. I like what